just when you thought there was no hope for baby boomers. It's the Rational Boomer Podcast. Logic. Common sense. Compassion. Yeah, who knew? Now, here's Mike.
We are back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. Hopefully your day is going well. It is Sunday, and I'm recording this in the evening on Saturday. I'm recording this a little earlier than I normally do because my wife and I are headed to Georgia this morning, and we have to get on a plane at 5:30, which means I have to be at the airport at 3:30, and if I did my normal recording, it just wouldn't get done. And I know you won't stand for it, so I won't stand for it, so I'm doing it a little bit early today. Now, when I get down to Georgia, I'll be doing the podcast and the TikToks like I normally do, but it's that period of time when I'm going to be in the air and getting up early and all that shit, so I had to make sure I had it done ahead of time. I had kind of a cool thing happen to me yesterday. I was went to a gas station, you know, with a convenience store. It was a quick trip, actually. And I was in a town a little ways away from where I live, but very close, reasonably close. And as I'm coming out of the gas station, I hear somebody said, "Sir, sir." And frankly, I just thought I'd drop my wallet again for the 150th time. But as I turn around, I see this younger woman, and she says, "Are you on TikTok?" I said, "Fuck yes, I'm on TikTok." So I went over to talk to her. Her name is Molly. And she was very excited to meet me. And I tried to explain to her, "You may be excited to see me. I'm not that big a deal. Anybody can see me virtually any time of the day. But I'm very excited about the prospect of somebody who actually watches me every day and recognizes me and comes up to me. That's exciting for me." Molly was a very nice young woman, and we talked for a bit. I said hello to her boyfriend, who didn't know who the fuck I was, and that's fine. Why should he? He said, "I don't care. You made her day. That's all that matters." So it was a very pleasant exchange. It was short, but it was a pleasant exchange. And Molly is on TikTok, too. She's done some videos. She's not keeping up with it as much as she should. So, I'm going to offer out a challenge to both you listeners and to Molly. Her TikTok account is Molly Bell, spelled MollyBell 420. Now, Molly, I hope to God that's your birthday, because that shit's not illegal yet in this state. But what I'm going to suggest is, I've seen some of the videos that Molly Bell has done, and they're very, very well done, and she should be doing more, but I would think she needs some encouragement. So that's why I'm coming to the listeners of the Rational Boomer Podcast. If you're on TikTok, seek Molly Bell 420 out, follow her, and then Molly is going to be on your ass to start doing some fucking more videos. I'm just saying. You're a lot better looking than I am. And you could probably get a lot of followers. So anyway, it was very nice to meet Molly. It was a pleasure. Thank you, Molly, for actually coming up and introducing yourself. That is very exciting to me. All right, we'll start this podcast out with an email. This one comes from Jeff from Ohio. He was on the podcast yesterday. His email was, anyway. And he is going to explain his sign-off on that email. You'll know what I'm talking about in a minute. He says, "Hey, Mike, just wanted to thank you for your explanation and help you out with the understanding of the OHIO. He's from Ohio. We're here in Buckeye Nation, do a cheer. We attend a game or rally, whatever, one person shouts OH, and the reply is IO. Just some useless knowledge for you. Thanks again, and enjoy the vacation in Georgia. Jeff from Ohio." I just want to clarify something, Jeff. It's not a vacation. I'm retired, so I travel places, and then I come home. And in order to be a vacation, I'd have to be vacationing from something. Since I'm not working anymore, but I'm doing TikToks and podcasts, and since I'll still be doing them in Georgia, it's not really a vacation, but it is a change of scenery. It's a relief, and we are definitely going to have fun. So thank you for that, Jeff. I appreciate it. All right, what's going on? It's the weekend. Usually things are pretty tame, but there's some shit going down. Down in Waco, Texas, thousands of Donald Trump's most devoted fans gathered for a rally at the Waco Regional Airport Saturday, hoping to lift the scandal-plagued and increasingly isolated candidate back to the top of the Republican Party and into the presidency. Well, good fucking luck with that. Not going to happen. It's a favorable location to launch what Trump's campaign calls the first official rally of the former president's third White House bid. Now, back in 2020, he trounced Democratic rival Joe Biden by more than 23 percentage points in McLennan County, which includes Waco. And the symbolism of appearing in the city, the site of the federal government's 1993 siege on the gun-hoarding Branch Davidian religious group that left scores of people dead, jibes with Trump's fierce anti-establishment streak and his tendency toward violence. Seems like everything Donald Trump is doing is pointing at violence. Now, the reason he's doing this is because he can't win an election to save his soul on policy or his speeches. Seems to me moments away from being indicted from any one of three places, or maybe all three places. So he's kind of in a pickle. He's in a corner. He can't get out. So the only thing he can do is give his fucking rallies, feed red meat to the toothless fucking wonders that come out and see him, try to grift money. Oh, yeah, Donald Trump was selling all kinds of shit. He was selling mystery boxes. You paid a certain amount of money and you got a box, but you didn't know what was in it. Oh, it's so exciting. I can only imagine what Donald Trump put in those fucking boxes. He was also selling a patriotic knife. Well, that's a good move. You got a big rally with these dumb Trump-la-fucks, and now you're going to sell them knives. Smooth move. Anyway, this thing went off, and, you know, it was all about ranting and raving. It looks like a Nazi rally, like all of Donald Trump's things do. And with Trump facing the looming possibilities of indictment in New York and prominent Republicans keeping their distance, the Texas event gives Trump a chance to fall back on what he does best, bringing massive throngs of fans together in a political show of force that few can match. And of course, he has to go to Waco or McLennan County, where he's a big fan favorite. Come up to Minnesota. Let's see how you do then. Maybe go to New York. Give that a try, Donnie. But be careful. You might get cuffed and dragged into fucking jail. Now, the former president rode Trump Force One, the Trump organization's Boeing 757, from the landing strip to the rally stage, walking along a red carpet, well, of course, toward the podium as God Bless the USA blared from the speakers. In a freewheeling speech, Trump decried a long list of enemies, ranging from globalists and Marxists to stupid warmongers, open border fanatics, crazy people. He repeatedly boasted that numerous investigations into misconduct allegations would only bring him more attention and fuel his campaign. Well, of course he does. He's got to double down. He's got to triple down. You go ahead and indict me. That's just going to help me. Well, it might help you with the fucked up few, your base, but not with the vast majority of America. You think it's going to help you with the independents, which is what you need to win any election? No. Is it going to help you with the conservative Republicans or the moderate Republicans? No. It's just those crazy, dumb fucking Trump-la-fucks who are going to get riled up and fly their Trump flags and do all this crazy shit. But the bottom line is, all these people that are your fans, they ain't enough of them. There's not enough of them. and you can't win. In fact, the Republicans are finally seeing that Donald Trump has no chance. Now, Trump said our opponents have done everything they can to destroy us and break our will, but they failed. Oh, I beg to differ, Donnie. They've only made us bigger, Trump said. You put me back in the White House, their reign will be over, and America will be a free nation once again. God, Donnie talks some shit. He added, they've got nothing. You get so much publicity that the case actually gets adjudicated in the press and people see it's bullshit. That's what our former president said. Well, only the ignorant minority see that. Several prominent Texas politicians, including Senator John Cornyn, Ted Cruz, and Governor Greg Wheels Abbott, you know what? They passed on the event. There's Donnie Trump, your Lord and Savior, right in your backyard. And what do you do? Oh, Jesus, look at the time. I'm busy. Now, they know he's a pariah. They know he's a loser. And they're tired of being connected to him. But I got to tell you, all these folks I just listed, they will forever be connected to Donald Trump. As much as they want to separate themselves, they waited too long. That's not going to happen. Now, that said, it was well attended by some of the best known and loudest voices of the right wing of the political spectrum. People like Marjorie Taylor Greene. Well, she's always fun at a party. And Matt Gaetz, keep the kids at home. These are all people who endorse me, Trump said. If they haven't endorsed me, I say, don't bother coming. Another dipfuck pedophile showed up. Right-wing rock star Ted Nugent called for a moment of silence for those political prisoners in the gulags of Washington, D.C. Of course, he's talking about the January 6th insurrectionist. So Ted Nugent supports insurrection in this country. You know what? If his career wasn't over, this would fucking end it. Ted Nugent was a half-ass rocker back in the 70s. I know I was there. There were a lot of people far better than him. He had one or two songs that were hits, but he was always a dipshit. And back when he was like 25, 30 years old, would he marry a girl that's 16, 17 years old? This guy is a pedophile. This guy is a piece of shit. Now, before shredding through the Star-Spangled Banner, Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick railed against critical race theory, a theory that is not taught in any schools K through 12, not taught anywhere in this country, and pledged to end college tenure for left-wing professors who hate capitalism. Gaetz prodded big-name Republicans like Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and Cruz, who Trump famously mocked as lying Ted, to fall in line and endorse the former president. This is Donald Trump's party, Gaetz said. Well, is that the truth? Well, if Donald Trump is your Lord and Savior and he is now the leader of the Republican Party, well, you can just go ahead and pack it in for 2024, because if Donald Trump is your nominee, you don't have a fucking prayer. He lost it for you in 2018. He lost it for you in 2020. He lost that race by 7 million votes. And in 2022, his endorsees and his policies lost a fucking game. So now you want to make him the nominee again. What, do you have a thing for fucking losers? I don't know. It's pretty funny. The fact of the matter is most Republicans don't want to see Donald Trump as the nominee. Only the few MAGA dumbfucks. And this is what I don't understand. MAGA is a relatively small part of the Republican Party. I mean, in the House of Representatives, what is it, 20 or 30 people that are controlling everything? But there are 218 Republicans in the House of Representatives. How does that happen? How weak is the Republican Party when 30 people can control everything you do? Even if you do want to separate yourself from Donald Trump, you're too fucking weak to be in charge of anything, to lead anything. The Republican Party has been destroyed as we knew it. It has nowhere near the strength it once had, and it just cannot beat the Democrats in 2024. This week, a pastor with the group Charles Pace told multiple outlets he believes that Trump's choice to rally in Waco was definitely a statement as the former president awaits possible criminal charges. You'll remember the Branch Davidians back in 93. Well, they still exist today. They were found as an offshoot of the Seventh-day Adventists long before Koresh came into the picture and convinced the followers that he was a prophet. Trump is making a statement, I believe, by coming to these stomping grounds where the government, the FBI, laid siege on this community, just like they laid siege on Mar-a-Lago and went in and took his stuff. That's what they wanted to do here. They wanted to come in and take guns and everything. Well, yeah, they had a stockpile of guns. They were weird. There were children being abused. Now, I know the Republicans don't mind abusing children, but that was still illegal then as it is now. The FBI had to do something. They maybe didn't do it right or quickly enough or safely enough, but it happened. And why Donald Trump is standing in that city now to make a point that we will fight against the FBI and we will fight against the government. Well, Donald, here's what you got to remember. If you're trying to make a point by being in Waco and about fighting against the FBI and the government, just remember, 30 years ago, David Koresh and the Branch Davidians, they lost to the FBI and the government. Whether you like what the government did or not, the Branch Davidians lost. So if that's the flag you're raising to follow, not surprised, because you all are a bunch of fucking losers. Pace made similar comments to the New York Times, saying that the FBI was accusing Trump of different things that aren't really true, just like David Koresh was accused by the FBI. So you're telling us Davis Koresh was a great guy. He was accused falsely. Now, don't get me wrong. I know the FBI and the government can do some fucked up things. And that thing with the Branch Davidians was fucked up. It should have never ended that way. But to suggest that David Koresh was completely innocent, I don't know that that's the case. The Times noted that Pace had spoken highly of Trump in his sermons, calling him the anointed of God. Jesus. Not my God. Trump has not mentioned the events of Waco himself. A spokesman told multiple news outlets that the city was simply centrally located to all four of Texas's biggest metropolitan area. He's not coming right out and saying, I'm doing it because I want you to know what happened there was wrong, but he implies it. And that's what Donald Trump loves to do. He loves to imply things. Try to get a point across without saying it directly. Kind of goes back to what everybody tells us, how he's got this mob speak. He doesn't tell you to do something. He just says it and expects you to do something. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, we know he's considering criminal charges against Trump over the hush money payments. And Donald Trump is upset about it. In fact, he's inciting violence again toward Alvin Bragg. Now, this is a fucked up thing to do. I mean, you can threaten people, but when you threaten a DA of the Manhattan District, that's going to cause you problems. In fact, that may be illegal in its own right. Here's the interesting thing. Donald Trump writes that if Alvin Bragg indicts him, he's risking death and destruction of a catastrophic level to this country. Well, that sounds very similar to January 6th and an insurrection. But then, within hours later, or a day later, Alvin Bragg gets a threatening letter threatening his life and some weird white powder in it, too. It's ironic that Donald Trump would say something and then all of a sudden something like that would happen. It's almost evidence that Donald Trump is inciting these crazy, toothless motherfuckers. It's really interesting. Donald Trump is starting off in Waco. He's got all the legal scandal. But here's something interesting. He decides to go to Texas because that's friendly territory. He does this rally at an airport. Not the most opportune place to do this kind of rally, but that's what he's limited to because it's quick and it's cheap. He had to pay Waco $60,000 to cover various municipal services such as public safety costs. And this time, he paid it in advance, what he almost never does. But here's the interesting thing. Across the state, in El Paso, city officials there tell Raw Story that they're still waiting for Trump's campaign committee to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of bills stemming from the former president's February 2019 visit to their border town. 4 years ago, Donald Trump owes them a shit ton of money. How much? Well, I'll tell you. Trump campaign has not submitted any payments for their debt to date. El Paso City spokesperson Laura Cruz Acosta confirmed, noting that the current Trump tab is $569,204.63, including a city-issued late fee of $98,787.58. Do you think they're ever going to get that money? Think of Donald Trump, the fucking gall of it. You owe the city of El Paso over $500,000. $500,000. And you still show up, pay a little $60,000 fee so you can drop in at a fucking airport and whip up your toothless, redneck, stupid motherfuckers. That is balls. I'll give you that. Now, El Paso is still trying to get Trump to pay up. In late 2020, the El Paso City Council unanimously took action to hire the law offices of Snapper L. Carr to advocate in the city's interest in the collection of the outstanding invoices. So Donald Trump, your billionaire buddy, he's in collections, and they're trying to collect more than $500,000. The city continues to seek the payment of these past due expenses so city taxpayers do not continue to have to bear the cost. See, that's the fucking crazy thing. If Donald Trump doesn't pay his bills, guess who does? We fucking do. We do. Now, Trump has been notorious for this kind of shit when it comes to paying public safety-related bills. City governments have sent his campaign committee to defray the often significant and unexpected cost of securing a large-scale political event. He goes in, he wants the works, but he pays for nothing. Now, The Insider, that publication in 2020, calculated that Trump's campaign had not paid nearly $2 million worth of public safety-related invoices sent to his campaign by more than a dozen municipal governments, including my home state, Minneapolis, Erie, Pennsylvania, Tucson, Arizona, Battle Creek, Michigan, Spokane, Washington, Lebanon, Ohio, and Burlington, Vermont. Now, I was at Burlington, Vermont in the fall. It's not a big town. It probably can't sit on that money very much longer. But if you're hoping against hope that Donald Trump is going to pay it off, keep hoping because it's never going to happen. Even if he had the will to pay it, even if he wanted to pay it, I don't think he has the fucking money. The Daily Beast has since found other unpaid bills through the Trump campaign. They apparently have appeared to have paid at least one from Sioux City, Iowa, after being pressured by local officials. They had to go in there and fight them for it. Donald Trump does not pay his bills ever, ever. Now, Waco officials did not immediately comment on the financial particulars of Trump's visit, and they said you could make a written request for that. But the difference between why Trump is paying his Waco bills, as first reported by the Waco Tribune Herald, and ignoring his El Paso bills appears tied to the mundane but a significant matter of jurisdiction and contractual obligation. Trump had his 2019 rally at the El Paso County Coliseum, which is controlled by the nonprofit El Paso Sports Commission, not the city of El Paso. Nevertheless, city of El Paso officials provided police and other resources for the event, but had no power to compel the Trump campaign to pay beforehand. Well, what the fuck did you think was going to happen? Donald Trump has had this reputation for decades before he was a president. When he was running for the presidency, when he was actually the president, this dumb shit does not pay his bills. It goes back to what I said before, these motherfuckers don't look beyond the end of their nose. They don't pay so they can save the money now. They don't think about that later they may have to go back to that location to campaign again and grift more money. You would think that would be an inducement to actually pay your bills, but not Donald Trump. He thinks he's special. He thinks everybody should feel lucky that he comes to their town and they should foot the bill. He thinks the taxpayers should foot the bill. Now, if the dumb Trumplafucks want to foot the bill, that's cool. But people like me, people of a reasonable mind, should not have to pay Donald Trump's bills. It's bad enough we have to deal with the wreckage he's left this country in. It's very upsetting to watch this, you know? Very upsetting. Now, Donald Trump has had his first rally in Waco. It sounded like it was a shit show. It sounded like a lot of people showed up, but of course, that's Waco, Texas. That's the state of Texas. There's a lot of crazy Trumplafucks there. It'll be interesting to see the places he decides to do rallies. They aren't going to be unfriendly places, which is weird, which is counterproductive if you think about it. If you're going to go to a rally, you want to convince people to vote for you. But if you're only going to places where they're going to vote for you anyway, you're kind of preaching to the choir, if you will. But Donald Trump needs that adulation. He needs those people cheering and screaming for him, spewing the dumbest shit of all. It's fucking crazy, to be perfectly honest with you. I heard a story. Well, I didn't even hear the story. I saw the video. Marjorie Taylor Greene. You remember her. She's the former star of those Geico caveman commercials. Yeah, she did a good job there. A lot of good work. But anyway, she was speaking at this rally. Of course she was. And she made a comment that I found very interesting. Something to think about. She said, instead of helping Ukraine try to push Russia back from attacking them unprovoked, we should instead pull our money from there and we should bomb Mexico. Bomb Mexico? She said, yeah, we should go in there and bomb the cartel. Let me tell you something. If we drop bombs in Mexico, the government's not going to be happy about that. And they are a trade partner, a big trade partner of us. Why would you fucking do that? And if you're going to do that to Mexico, you have to understand there's a lot of people coming on the north border too. So we're going to bomb Canada as well? Everything with Trumplafucks is about violence, forcing issues, making threats, bombing people, bombing fucking hurricanes for Christ's sake, as Donald Trump wanted to do at one point. It's amazing to me that these people have been allowed to run free with the lies and the craziness they spew. It's all going to come to a sudden halt. Trust me on that. It can't go forever. And we see that the support is starting to chip away. There's less and less people following these folks. More and more people are seeing how absolutely ridiculous and dangerous they are. Ultimately, Donald Trump will have his little base of 25% to 30%, not enough to win any fucking election. As soon as the regular Republicans get a set of balls, they will separate themselves from MAGA. Now, I thought they would do this long ago, but they haven't. That just goes to show I gave them more credit for courage than I should have. But at some point, they're going to have to make that break, and it will probably come sometime after the indictments. Not only Donald Trump, but maybe Mark Meadows, maybe the sitting members of Congress, maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene. When those start to hit, then the conservatives and the moderates in the Republican Party will say, oh, okay, I've had enough. But what they need to understand is all these people that are standing next to Donald Trump, they waited too long. They are never going to get out from under that cloud. The cloud of Donald Trump will be over them for eternity. Their lives, their careers will never be the same. If they think they're flying now, just wait. They are all going to go in a quick dive and a crash into the ground. Marjorie Taylor Greene, first among them. It's not going to go well for these fucks. Guaranteed. All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. Now, I fucking love this next story. It's fabulous. Multiple calls from a Republican staffer for the House Judiciary Committee were met with cursing and a dial tone by the office of the New York District Attorney, Elvin Bragg. Now, we know that for some reason, the House Republicans, Jim Jordan specifically, decided that they were angry at the prospect of Alvin Bragg possibly indicting Donald Trump. Now, the key here is Alvin Bragg hasn't indicted anybody as yet. So the fact that these people are freaking out is weird. It's a little presumptuous, if you will. So anyway, Jim Jordan and all the other Trump-la-fucks sent letters to Alvin Bragg and said, "We want you to testify. We want the documentation. We think you're doing something illegal." Well, a staffer from the House Judiciary Committee called Bragg's office multiple times this past week to inquire about requested documents involved in the Trump probe. And apparently, the same staffer was getting the same calls, the staffer for Bragg. And according to the New York Post, this staffer said, "Your committee has no jurisdiction over us. You're wrong. Stop calling us with this bullshit." This is coming from the DA's office talking to members of Congress. I would love to get that fucking audio tape. That would be priceless. Bragg's attorney previously responded to a request from the House Judiciary Committee by calling the request unprecedented, but claimed Bragg was willing to have further conversations. "We request an opportunity to meet and confer with the committee staff to better understand what information the DA's office can provide that relates to a legitimate legislative interest and can be shared consistent with the district attorney's constitutional obligations." Fact of the matter is, they don't have any jurisdiction over Alvin Bragg and the DA, and there's nothing that they could possibly ask for that they're entitled to. Bragg knows this, and I think maybe he wanted to sit down with them to just embarrass them in person. Now, this was written by Jim Jordan. "Based on your unique role in this matter, we request your cooperation with our oversight of this politically motivated prosecutorial decision. The request signed by House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan." Oh, there's a lot of credibility. He's telling the DA that what he's doing was politically motivated prosecutorial decisions. How do you think Bragg took that? Especially since Jim Jordan doesn't know fucking thing of what he's talking about. In his own tweet, Jordan blasted Bragg and accused him of simply targeting Trump's 2024 presidential run. Really? Well, the fact of the matter is, we know he did the crime. Michael Cohen, who was his co-conspirator, was convicted of said crime. So if Donald Trump was in fact a co-conspirator, that would make him guilty of the crime too. He's the one that slept with Stormy Daniels. He's the one that wanted to pay her to keep her mouth shut. Now, he did it through his lawyer, Michael Cohen, but that doesn't change the facts. Donald Trump knows this, Jim Jordan knows this, but this is what they do. They just spew bullshit, hoping stupid people will believe it. And trust me, there are stupid people that do believe it, but not many of them. The vast majority of us with a reasonable mind know it's fucking ridiculous and know it's bullshit. The Justice Department wasn't going to bring this case. The previous District Attorney Cy Vance wasn't going to bring this case. And even Alvin Bragg himself, when he first gets elected, didn't want to bring the case. What changed? President Trump on the ballot, the congressman wrote. What changed? Well, the opinion of the DA. Something you have nothing to be involved with. Alvin Bragg can do whatever he wants. In his world, in the DA's office in Manhattan District, he's got the same power as you fucking knuckleheads. It's just that he knows what he's doing. The fact of the matter is Donald Trump did commit the crime. That's a foregone conclusion. And whether Alvin Bragg wants to indict him or not, that's not Jim Jordan or any other fucking Republican House member's business. Fuck you. Now, yesterday at this rally, I have to bring up Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, that is one ugly woman. Now, I know you're going to say, don't shame people for their looks. I won't shame people for their looks. I will shame Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is subhuman, on their looks. On Saturday said, no one in the GOP has a list of names like Donald Trump has, including unannounced 2024 contender, Governor Ron DeSantis, and fellow Republican primary opponent and former ambassador to the UN in the Trump administration, Nikki Haley. And then she tells a little joke. She says, whoever that is. Oh, fuck. Yeah, whoever that is. Nikki Haley is a Trump-humping loser, too. But see, they're fighting amongst themselves. They can't even get along with themselves. Now, Green spoke from the stage at Trump's first 2024 campaign rally. We talked about it in Waco, Texas. A lot of people showed up to support Donald Trump and speak. I said Matt Gaetz, Ted Nugent. Oh, and guess who else showed up? Mike Lindell, the pillow guy. Now, there is a sad sack if I've ever seen one. Here's a guy that started out to be a pretty successful guy with his shitty pillows. And that's saying something. You sell a shitty product and you're successful. Well, that's doing something. He had a lot of money. But more recently, he had to borrow $10 million just to keep the fucking doors open. Because ever since he jumped on this Donald Trump bandwagon and the election fraud bandwagon, he's been hemorrhaging money. And I feel more sorry for the people that work for this dipshit, not that far away from here, maybe 10 miles away from here. They're going to lose their jobs and their livelihood because Mike Lindell is a dumb fuck that doesn't know how to quit. Green also spoke with hosts of the Right Side Broadcasting live stream coverage of the rally, including Christina Bob. Remember that name, Christina Bob. Now, that's a whole other situation. Remember when we talked about Evan Corcoran testifying in front of the DOJ because of the affidavit he wrote? Said that no more classified documents, and it was a lie? Well, Christina Bob was Donald Trump's lawyer who signed that motherfucker. Both she and Evan Corcoran have been in trouble, but Christina Bob apparently threw Donald Trump under the bus when she was deposed. Because she's free and clear right now. She signed the fucking paper that lied to the DOJ. Of course, now Evan Corcoran and Christina Bob said, well, Donald Trump said it was okay, so we just went with it. A good move. Here's a guy that's a known pathological liar, and you just take him at his word. Not the smartest lawyers you'll find. Bob asked Marjorie Taylor Greene what the GOP would do in 2025 if the party controlled the House, the Senate, and the White House. Green said, "Oh, that would be a dream come true. If we had full control, that would be the greatest." "Not gonna happen, Margie." Green then transitioned to talking about Trump versus other candidates. She doesn't answer the question because she doesn't know what they're going to do. Fuck, they're in power now. They don't know what they're going to do. They have no policy. They have no platform. Don't ask them about what they're going to do because they're going to do nothing. But they're not going to say that. "Here's what we know about President Trump," she said. "President Trump has a list of names and no one else has that. Ron DeSantis doesn't have that. Nikki Haley or whoever she is doesn't have anything like that," Green said. "No one else knows how to clean out the swamp like President Trump," which is ironic because President Trump, when he was president, and his administration and people connected to the Trump administration, he has more people that have been indicted, gone to trial, and been convicted than any other president in the United States history. Apparently, he cleaned out the swamp by hiring them all and then getting them indicted. That's kind of a backwards way to clean out the swamp, but I got to give him this. He did expose a lot of swamp monsters in his own administration. Now, whether she was being dismissive of Haley as a nobody or making an oblique reference to the former governor's name, the way many critics from the left have done, is open to interpretation. The reason they do that, she's from East Indian descent, and that's not her real name. I guess that's just her stage name. So she was making fun of Nikki Haley, trying to expose the fact that she's a fucking foreigner. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want Nikki Haley to be president, but I'm not worried about it because she's getting like 2% in the polls. She's not a legitimate candidate. She won't be around in 2024. Now, during Friday night interview on Newsmax, Donald Trump said that he would not make Ron DeSantis his vice president if he secures the nomination. Oh, no shit? No shit. It has been a bad week for Ron DeSantis. Once considered to be the GOP's best hope to succeed Donald Trump, the Florida governor is fading in the polls. DeSantis also had an embarrassing moment where he tried to pull back on his comments about Ukraine and Russia. Trump smells blood in the water and attacked DeSantis during an interview on Newsmax last night, or the night before. He told host Rob Schmidt, "Look, I appointed him." No, you didn't. He was failing badly in the polls. He was out of politics. He was going to be out of politics, and I endorsed him. And he went from a very small number to a very high number, and he beat his opponent. That's what Donald Trump always says. "I made him and I can take him down." Well, Ron DeSantis has all kinds of problems. When it looked like Donald Trump wasn't going to be the nominee for the Republicans in 2024 because of this shitstorm around him, everybody looked at Ron DeSantis. "Oh no, Ron DeSantis. He's like Trump, but he's smarter. He's more dangerous than Donald Trump. He'll be the nominee and then he'll be the president." Now, you'll remember I said, whoa, hold on a minute. It's way too early to decide who's going to be the Republican nominee. Donald Trump's not going to be the Republican nominee. And immediately you go and anoint Ron DeSantis. The problem with Ron DeSantis is that he's socially awkward. The only thing he's ever done is co-opted Donald Trump's ideas, these draconian ideas, and made them his own and tried to be a more normalized Donald Trump. But he's saying and doing the same things as Donald Trump. You have to understand Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis are the same kind of people. They don't have any beliefs. They will take on any belief that's going to get them money or votes. It doesn't matter. If someone told him to burn down the Everglades, that would get him elected as president, he would fucking do it. He would fucking do it, just like Donald Trump will do anything. Donald Trump is speaking out against overturning Roe v. Wade now, but the one reason he got the evangelicals on their side is because they believed he was the one guy to get it overturned. Well, they were right. But now he's talking differently about it because he knows it's not the popular opinion. This is what Ron DeSantis does. Ron DeSantis is a weak candidate. He has no charisma. He's not very bright. He's not very articulate. And he's spewing some hateful shit. You think that's going to get him elected to fucking anything short of governor of Florida? I mean, it's fucking Florida, so you can expect that. But when he gets out in the national platform, nobody's going to vote for that stupid motherfucker. Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, will not be there in 2024 as a nominee. It's going to be somebody we don't know. And the one thing we do know is that whatever Republican is put up to run for president in 2024, going to get their ass kicked by the Democrats. That's a foregone conclusion. Now, Trump continued to slam DeSantis, attempting to slam many of the governor's talking points. He continued to tell Schmidt, the things that he voted against are devastating, because after everyone thought he did great on COVID, but if you look at the list, he did poorly on COVID. He had the same numbers as New York, a little bit worse than New York. He's bad on education, bad on COVID, many different things that people don't know about. See, here's the thing. Donald Trump is going to pound on Ron DeSantis as long as he can, as long as he's out of jail. The more time he spends pounding on Ron DeSantis, the more beaten down this fucking clown is going to get. He is dropping in the polls because he's a dipshit and because Donald Trump says he's a dipshit. Ron DeSantis won't be a force by next year at this time. He just will not be a force. He'll be out of it. He's going to settle back and say, God, I'm lucky to be governor. I think I'll just stick with this. And that's what's going to happen. Well, we haven't heard about Mitch McConnell as of late. We know he fell at a hotel. They first tell us he has a concussion. Then they say he's got broken ribs. People are saying, what's up with Mitch McConnell? We haven't seen him. A lot of conspiracy theories. I even had some thoughts to question what is really going on. So then they come out and they say, well, we're going to release him from the hospital, which not exactly true. They released him from a hospital, but then they put him in a rehabilitation center. And as I've said all along, it's interesting. You got broken ribs and you had a concussion, and it's been a few weeks. And we haven't seen hide nor tail of him. He's not been in the news media at all. Well, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell announced on Saturday that he is finished with inpatient therapy after suffering a concussion on March 8th and will work from home for the next few days. We'll see how long that is. I'd still like to see Mitch on TV. He loved being on TV before. Let's see what you look like, Mitch. That means the GOP leader won't return to the Capitol in person until after the upcoming two-week recess over the Easter and Passover holidays. The Senate is set to resume session the week of April 17th. So this started on, March 8th. He's coming back April 17th. That means he's been gone 5-6 weeks. Nobody's even seen him for 5 or 6 weeks. And it's real easy to say, yeah, I'm coming out now, but I'm not coming back till after the break. Give him some more time to recover. Now, I hope Mitch McConnell is fine. To be honest with you, he's the one voice of reason in the Republican Party. That shows you how fucked up that Republican Party is. He is evil. And he is responsible for the way this country is currently. But even still, he's smarter and the voice of reason with these crazy Trump-la-fuck MAGA assholes. Mitch said, I want to sincerely thank everyone for all the kind wishes. I'm happy to say I finished inpatient physical therapy earlier today, and I'm glad to be home, McConnell said in a statement released on Saturday afternoon. I'm going to follow the advice of my physical therapist and spend the next few days working for Kentuckians. Yeah, I'll bet. And the Republican conference from home. He continued, I'm in frequent touch with my Senate colleagues and my staff. I look forward to returning in person to the Senate sometime soon. Yeah, I'm anxious to get a look at you, too. A McConnell aide confirmed that the leader won't return to the Capitol before April. Given the proximity to the upcoming state work period, the leader is working from home this week. He will consult with his physical therapist on a return date to the Senate, so I'm not going to speculate, the aide says. Yeah, be noncommittal there, because a couple days might turn into a couple weeks, might turn into a couple of months. He's 81 years old, for Christ's sake. A fall for somebody of that age can be devastating. But will they tell us if it was devastating? I don't know. The source said, we'll be sure to let everyone know when we have an update on a return date. Yeah, you notice with all the things going on, you don't hear that much about Mitch McConnell's situation. So there's too much other crazy shit going on. Now, McConnell, he's 81. He suffered a concussion and a fractured rib when he tripped and fell at a private dinner at the Waldorf Astoria in downtown Washington. He was discharged from the hospital to an inpatient rehabilitation facility. The thing about it is, Mitch McConnell's been falling a lot lately. Does it have to do with his age? Does it have to do with something else? Who really fucking knows? But if you think the Republicans are going to tell us, you're sadly mistaken. The Kentucky Republican has checked in with colleagues and last week spoke to members of the leadership team, including Senate Republican Whip John Thune, Senate GOP Conference Chairman John Barrasso, and Senator John Cornyn of Texas. Republican senators say they are continuing to coordinate with McConnell's office during his absence. You want to hear a fucked up story? A story of how America is going backwards? Republican Governor Brad Little signed a bill allowing execution by firing squad, making Idaho the latest state to turn to older methods of capital punishment amid a nationwide shortage of lethal injection drugs. Apparently, there's a shortage of the drugs they use to kill people. So instead of the drugs, they decided, well, let's just go with the firing squad. Talk about backwards motherfuckers. The legislature passed the measure March 20th with a veto-proof majority. Under it, firing squads will be used only if the state cannot obtain the drugs needed for lethal injections. Question is, how hard is Idaho going to try to get those injections? I'm sure they're just rubbing their hands together. Can't wait for the first firing squad. This won't play out too well for Idaho. They think they're being smart. They think they're being clever. But they can't wait to put on this show. I wouldn't be surprised if they fucking televised it. Pharmaceutical companies increasingly have barred executioners from using their drugs, saying they were meant to save lives. One Idaho death row inmate has already had his execution postponed repeatedly because of drug scarcity. So what are you saying? The pharmacy companies are saying, yeah, you're misusing this shit. We're not going to send it to you. The shortage has prompted other states in recent years to revive older methods of execution. Only Mississippi, Utah, Oklahoma, and South Carolina have laws allowing firing squads if other execution methods are unavailable, according to Death Penalty Information Center. South Carolina's law is on hold pending the outcome of a legal challenge. Can you imagine that? And you fucking absolutely imagine that. I mean, there's some question about the validity of capital punishment. But now they want to make it messier. They want to make it back to the archaic days when they lined somebody up against a brick wall and had like 7 or 8 people shoot him. For Christ's sake. What are you people thinking of? Never been to Idaho, but I've been to some of these other places. South Carolina, I'll probably be there later today or tomorrow. What the fuck are you thinking about? Jesus Christ. Now, attempts by lawyers working at the behest of Donald Trump tried to keep former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen on the ex-president's side and were not only unsuccessful, but helped to drive him into the arms of federal investigators. And that's according to a cache of emails that were analyzed by the Daily Beast. Now, according to a report from the Beast, Jose Paglieri, Donald Trump's choice to elevate former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani was a major factor in Cohen's decision to come clean about the alleged hush money payoff to adult film star Stormy Daniels, which is now at the center of the possible Trump indictment coming out of Manhattan. As the report notes, attorney Robert Costello, who testified against Cohen earlier this week, took the lead in encouraging Cohen to stick with Trump, but his efforts to ensure the former Trump fixer that he would be protected flopped despite a flurry of encouraging messages. Paglieri wrote, "The emails show an attempt to establish a back channel running from Cohen, who was suddenly being investigated by the feds over the $130,000 payment, all the way to then-President Trump." Costello had long been associated with Trump acolyte Rudy Giuliani, so an opportunity presented itself to establish a Cohen-Costello-Giuliani-Trump chain. Now, after the meeting, Cohen, the report states, Costello kicked right into action, devising a plan to keep Cohen safe. One that relied on a presidential pardon from Trump. Internal emails at the firm show that. Before adding, that option seemed all the more promising on April 19th when Giuliani announced he was joining Trump's legal team to try to shut down the special counsel probe that led prosecutors to Cohen. It was a position of direct influence with the president himself. And clearly, Rudy fucking failed. However, Cohen lost faith in the promises from Trump's legal team after Giuliani's appearance on Fox News with host Sean Hannity went sideways, with Giuliani blurting that Daniels' payment was funneled through the law firm and the president repaid it. So Cohen is trying to hide this shit, and then Giuliani, dumb as you can fucking possibly be, spills the beans. So right there, Cohen knows he's fucking fried. He's going to be the fall guy. And damned if he wasn't. He's the only one that served time in jail for that crime, even though Donald Trump was in the thick of it with that crime. So that's why Michael Cohen flipped. Well, now Donald Trump is on the hook for this crime. A crime that they already convicted Michael Cohen of. And Michael Cohen was little more than the middleman. Donald Trump is the one that came up with the money. Donald Trump is the one that had the affair with Stormy Daniels. Donald Trump was the one that had the problem with keeping Stormy Daniels' mouth shut. Now that set off alarms with Costello writing to one of his law partners on Saturday. Michael was claiming that he was convinced that Rudy is screwing things up. I asked him if he would be coming to our office this week, and he said, "Definitely, but I do not know if I believe him. I'm beginning to wonder if he really has the money to pay us." When journalists began speculating whether Trump's one-time fixer was about to be arrested, the Cohen-Costello-Giuliani-Trump rope started to fray. On the morning of June 14th, Costello texted Giuliani a warning. "He is very agitated and lashing out. Basically, he needs a little loving and respect booster. He is not thinking clearly because he feels abandoned, and I'm very uncertain about a relationship with him." Well, of course he did. That's when Cohen hired Lanny Davis, a Democratic operative who also served as Bill Clinton's lawyer. It became clear to everyone involved in this back-channel ploy that the party was over. Costello texted Giuliani the news, expressing with certainty that Cohen couldn't possibly afford such a high-powered lawyer on his own. Well, whether he paid for it himself or somebody paid for it for him, who the fuck knows? You know, the situation with Michael Cohen and Donald Trump is very similar to John Gotti and Sammy Gravano. Sammy Gravano was very loyal to John Gotti until he realized that John Gotti was going to throw Sammy under the bus. Then Sammy said, fuck it, I'm going to tell all. Same kind of situation with Michael Cohen. He knew he was going to get thrown under the bus. He knew he was going to be the fall guy because that's just the way Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani do things. So he said, I'm going to save myself. And that should be a lesson to a lot of these people that are around Trump now. He will bury you to save himself. And if you don't understand that yet, you just have not been paying fucking attention at all. So I think you're going to see a lot of people around Donald Trump, the Mark Meadows, the Dan Scavinos. I think you're going to see them giving up a lot of shit, especially if they go to trial with the DOJ. They're going to have to give stuff up if they want to save themselves, if they want to stay out of prison. And I can guarantee you, if their choice is going to prison or saving Donald Trump, if they haven't learned yet, they will learn soon. It's better to save yourself and fuck Trump, because he is not going to help you. He could have pardoned a lot of people, but he decided not to. He figured he had more leverage on them. The moment he pardoned them, then that leverage was gone. So he doesn't pardon them. Now he has leverage for them to do his bidding. But now it's gotten out of control. Donald Trump can absolutely do nothing. And all that's left is save myself and bury Donald Trump or go to jail. That isn't a hard choice for most people. And it isn't going to be a hard choice for Mark Meadows, Dan Scavino, and all those stupid motherfuckers. They waited too long. They waited too long to back off, and now they're going to have a lifetime of embarrassment, and they are going to carry the stink of Donald Trump for eternity. All right, we are going to wrap up the Rational Boomer podcast. I want to thank you for spending the time to listen. The next time you hear from me, I'll be recording in Georgia, Savannah, Georgia. I hope you have a great day, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Boomer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time.